SBS live streams and podcasts are supported by advertising.
We interrupt this ad break to bring you a public kindness announcement. Put it back in the bay. You've seen it 1,000 times. Calf muscles quivering like a polar bear fresh out of the waxing salon as they heave 38 stacked trolleys up a broken escalator. It ain't easy being a trolley boy. And you're thinking of leaving your trolley next to your car? Go on, walk the extra 12 metres to the bay. Log your act of kindness at kindnessfactory.com and use the hashtag OneSmallAct.
Authorised by the Kindness Factory, Canberra.
As Israel continues with its military operation in southern Gaza, the leader of the Palestinian Authority, Mahmoud Abbas, has announced the formation of a new cabinet. The announcement was made following growing pressure for reform from the United States. Mr. Abbas has appointed Mohammad Mustafa, one of his financial advisers who studied in the US, as the new prime minister. Mr. Mustafa has thanked the Palestinian president for his support.
I am honoured, Mr. President, to present you with the statement of the 19th government, its work program, and the list for the formation of this proposed government in order to seek confidence in accordance with the law and to obtain approval for the government's formation.
Based on the announcement, Mr. Mustafa will also be the new foreign minister. Interior Minister Ziad Hab al-Rih, one of the members of Mr. Abbas's Fatah movement, will remain in his position from the previous government. The Palestinian Authority serves as the de facto government for parts of the West Bank after it was forced out of Gaza by Hamas in 2007. Its popularity with the Palestinian people has faded following accusations of corruption and mismanagement. The formation of the new government has already attracted criticism by Hamas, who released a statement calling the move a superficial and empty step that deepens division. The PA is seen by the US as the ideal candidate to form a new administration in Gaza after the war. US State Department spokesman Matthew Miller says they plan to engage with the newly formed government.
So now that the PA has appointed a new cabinet, we will be looking to this new government to deliver on policies and implement credible and far-reaching reforms. It's something we've spoken to a number of times, our belief that a reformed PA is essential to delivering results for the Palestinian people and establishing the conditions for stability in both the West Bank and Gaza. So we will engage with this government based on its actions. We'll be closely tracking the steps it takes to advance the key reforms and look forward to engaging with them on that matter.
Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has rejected the US's post-war plan, saying it will maintain security control over Gaza following the conclusion of its military operation. The Israeli Defense Forces are continuing their operations in the enclave. Rear Admiral Daniel Hagari says they have succeeded in eliminating one of Hamas's senior leaders who was located at a hospital.
In the last few minutes, we received approval from the General Security Service together with the Intelligence Division for the approval of the assassination of a senior Hamas official who we took out at Sheba Hospital. The senior Hamas official we eliminated is Raid Tabit. Tabit served as the head of the Supply and Personnel Corps of the military arm of Hamas.
The International Court of Justice has issued an order for Israel to allow the entrance of unimpeded aid into Gaza within the next 30 days. It comes following a report from the United Nations that showed Israel could be using famine as a weapon in the war. Speaking during a meeting in Dublin, the European Union Crisis Management Commissioner Janez Lenarsic says they are using all available avenues to deliver that much-needed aid.
We at the European Union are trying to do everything we can. We are even supporting airdrops, which are inefficient and sometimes dangerous, and which do not guarantee proper distribution of humanitarian aid on the ground once you throw the stuff out of the airplane. We are also working on a maritime corridor from Cyprus, even though that will only be able to provide significant quantities of humanitarian aid when there is a port being constructed on the Gaza shore.
Irish Deputy Prime Minister Michael Martin says the situation in Gaza is disastrous.
There is no need for this. There's excessive checking at the borders. I spoke this morning to Ayman Safadi, the foreign minister in Jordan. I spoke to Egyptian Simon Shoukry yesterday, and I spoke to the Palestinian Prime Minister yesterday also, and they're telling me the situation is dire, absolutely catastrophic. And I would appeal to Israel to show humanity in terms of enabling the essentials of life to get into Gaza for the civilian population.
Meanwhile, the Israeli government is continuing to face growing pressure from within the country to come to an agreement that will secure the return of the remaining hostages held by Hamas. Mr. Netanyahu held a meeting with family members of the hostages for the first time since the start of the war on October 7. Ernan Neutra, the father of one of the captives, says the meeting was not very productive.
The physical security of Israel is not the only thing that matters here. The social security, the fabric of Israel, the knowledge that the government will take care of its citizens and will bring them home if something happens, that's broken and it has to be fixed. And the only way to fix it is to bring the hostages back. And sooner rather than later, because if not, we're going to all get them in coffins. Like my friends here that were notified already that their sons are no longer within the living.
It comes as the health ministry in Gaza has announced that the number of casualties since the start of the war has gone beyond 32,000, while an estimated 74,000 have been left injured. The conflict began after Hamas's invasion on southern Israel, during which 1,200 people were killed and over 250 people were kidnapped. Around 100 of them still remain in captivity. Alex Anifantis, SBS News.
Why do people want to be at work? To feel heard, appreciated, part of something, and to know there's a career path for everyone. Inclusive workplaces are linked to increased innovation, productivity, and employee satisfaction. Make your organisation a place where people want to be. For inclusion and diversity training, visit inclusion-program.com.au.